Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. This message entitled Quickening Your Mortal Body is one that I believe is going to bless you immensely, especially if you or someone you know is in need of healing in their body. It is the quickening power of the Word of God through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your reborn human spirit that gives life to your mortal physical body. But it doesn't just happen. We have a part to play. We must first partake of the tree of life, and then His life will quicken our mortal bodies. I hope that this message will bless you. Let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, Father, I just thank You for Your Word. I thank You, Heavenly Father, for the teacher, the Holy Ghost, who brings the revelation, the understanding to our hearts, to our spirits, to our minds, enabling us to walk in the truth of Your Word. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for the power that's in your Word. And it is alive. Praise God. I thank You that it's Your Word that puts us over. Thank You, Father, for Your Word that You have given to us, the lives that, Father God, that they have been committed to the spreading of this word in the earth. Thank You, Father. We do not take it lightly by any means. It is so powerful. And Heavenly Father, as we look at Your word tonight, I believe that it's going to be quickened to our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Holy Spirit, thank You for the understanding. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for taking this word and ministering it to each and every person that's listening. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We worship and praise You. I come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest You now in Jesus' name. And Father, as we study Your word, I believe that the leadership of the Holy Ghost is going to direct us step by step through what He wants us to receive tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. I'm excited about God's word. I am so excited. It seems like He's just here recently. It's hard to explain. Has shown me a little bit more about the power that's in God's word, and shown me how to benefit, take advantage of God's word, and reap all of the benefits that are available to us because we have God's word. Hallelujah. How exciting it is. And it's been specifically for me in the area of healing that He's done this. And I was sharing with someone earlier today that's in a real battle for their physical health. I was sharing with them about how a lot of times we as believers make the mistake of confessing God's word by memory instead of looking at His word, taking the word of God, putting it in front of our eyes, speaking it out of our mouth. Instead, we kind of by rote, we just repeat it over and over again from memory. And that's not what God's word tells us to do. In Proverbs chapter 4, He doesn't say, repeat it by memory. So let's look at that verse before we really get started here tonight. I want to bring this to your attention once again, because it's so important. I truly believe that this is one of the problems that believers have, and they don't even realize it, that they're not doing what the Word of God tells us to do. As James said, they're hearers of God's Word. They're hearing it, but they're not doing it. And I have to say, even for myself, I've been guilty of this at times, of hearing His Word, but not doing His Word. Look at what it says here in Proverbs chapter 4, beginning verse 20. My son, attend to my words. And we're specifically talking when it says my words here, attend to God's word to us. Give our attention to His Word. And when you give your attention to something, you're not just haphazardly, casually glancing at something. You know, you're giving your attention to it. And you're not just looking all over the place. You're not just, you know, oh, I saw that once. You know, that's not giving your attention to it. Give attention, or attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Now, look at that. To incline your ear to his sayings, since, you know, since we have God's word, black ink on white paper, for those of you listening right now, I'm holding this Bible up to my ear, and I don't hear anything, because that's not the way this works. To incline thine ear unto his sayings means somebody's going to have to say it, preferably me or you as an individual. Say God's word out of your mouth. Say it so that you will hear it. It goes out of your mouth and back into your ears, and you're gonna believe yourself before you believe anybody else. So as you are listening to yourself, you're believing this, you're hearing it, it's going inside of you. Glory to God. Attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes. So he said, don't let them depart from your eyes. Why did he say that? Because we have a tendency to let them depart from our eyes. We have a tendency to put our attention on something else instead of on God's word. We have a, you know, even in the with the best intentions, at times we'll listen to preachers. We'll listen to other preachers. We'll listen to them preach to us. But we're not giving our attention specifically to God's word ourselves. We're letting somebody else do it for us. And I'm not in any way speaking disparagingly against listening to preachers. But if that's all you're doing, and you're not taking time to put the word inside of you yourself, speaking it, looking at it, meditating on it, then you're missing out. You're not doing what the word says. You're a hearer, but not a doer. So get this again. Verse 21. Let them not, these are God's word, depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are, look at these words, their life. Life. Their life. God's word is life. Unto those that find them, and health, and we already discovered in previous messages that word is medicine. It's medicine to all their flesh. God's word is medicine. God's word will heal you. Get the word of God inside of you, and his word will heal you if you get it in there and believe it. So what are we finding out right here? We're finding out the importance of getting the word of God going in through your eyes, in through your ears, coming out of your mouth. That way it's going into your heart. And we've discovered that God's word is life to those that find it, and health or medicine, medicine to all your flesh. Are you sick? Do you have sickness in your body? Well, I just have this little thing here and that little thing there, and I've got, you know, this, and the doctor says this, and the doctor says that. But it's manageable. See, here's where I think I'm not inclined to do what most people do in this regard. They'll manage their symptoms by going, you know, go to the doctor, get their prescription, get their medication, and then they just manage the symptoms. Oh, you know, somebody's got high blood pressure. Well, if you just get this high blood pressure medicine, we'll manage it. Well, that's not healing you. Don't ever think that managing symptoms is equivalent to healing you. It's not. You still have high blood pressure. It's just being managed. And I would prefer
to not have the high blood pressure. Well, Mark, you just can't do that. You know, that's what the doctor said. Well, here's the problem. You're limiting, when you think that way, you're limiting yourself to this natural world and to what the doctors, the people that study this natural world and the solutions that man has in this natural world, you're limiting yourself to their solutions. Well, I got news for you. God's word is medicine to all your flesh. Now, you're not going to go to a doctor, I can assure you, unless it's a spirit-filled Christian doctor, maybe. But you're not going to just go to any run-of-the-mill doctor and they're going to write you a prescription. So confess God's word, read God's word out loud an hour a day or whatever. You're not going to have that. They're going to give you some kind of a, you know, high blood pressure medicine, or they're going to give you some kind of cholesterol medicine and to manage that cholesterol. But the problem is, if you ever looked at all the other side effects, you might be managing one thing, and on the other side of the coin, you're destroying some other part of your body. So that's not the way God operates. God doesn't give you healing by giving you something that hurts your body in some other area. That's not the case. And healing belongs to us. It's ours. But it's not something that you're going to be able to receive without faith. Faith in what? Faith in His word. It takes faith, and it takes you believing in His word, speaking it out of your mouth, being a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. I got a few notes here. Let me just get these notes so kind of get your mind going in the direction that the Lord had me going in. Man's solutions to sickness and disease are limited to this natural physical world. There's a limitation on what they can do. And their solutions do not cure what ails you. It's not a cure. It's something to either eliminate some of the symptoms or to put your body in a better situation for it to heal itself, because the body has the ability to heal itself. And these solutions that the doctors have, albeit it may keep you alive, but they're not permanent cures. For example, if you have a cancer on your body, what are they going to do? Well, they're going to radiate your body. They're going to give you chemotherapy that attack that tumor, trying to get it to where it's not going to destroy your body. But will they ever say you're cancer free after that? Absolutely not. You know, it's like pulling teeth to get them to give you a positive report after you've been diagnosed with cancer. As far as I see in God's word will cure me if I get it inside of me and I believe it and I do what He said to do. It will cure me. It will render that cancer lifeless, and it'll completely cure me. So which one do I rather have? Do I want to limit myself to the limitations of a doctor in this natural world, or do I want to have the limitless God be my physician and through His word heal my body? Because I was healed 2,000 years ago when Jesus paid the price for my healing. It's simply a matter of me believing it and receiving what's already been accomplished for me. That's what we're dealing with here. So would I rather go that route and receive what's been accomplished for me, receive complete, total healing? Or would I rather go man's route? Because I can see the pills. You know, you take a pill three times a day, and, you know, and then come and see me in 2 weeks. You know, I can do that. And so I can put my trust in this man, that this physician, and hopefully, you know, he's not going to kill me in the process, and I can do what he says to do, and hopefully I'll feel better, you know, after 2 weeks or whatever. You can go that route. You may not be better in 2 weeks. You might be better in 2 weeks. Who knows? If you go this route, you have God's ironclad guarantee. His word won't change. And his word will always be medicine to all your flesh if you will do what it is necessary to put the word of God inside of you. That's your choice. It's your choice. Which one? He's not going to be mad at you if you go the doctor's route. And maybe at this stage of the game, you know, you need the help of the physicians just to keep you on this planet, because your faith isn't developed enough to receive the healing of your body through God's word by faith. Maybe it's not at that place. But don't just opt for the natural route and not use your faith at all. Don't do that. Do both together. Go the natural route, but use your faith. Believe God for a quick resolution. Believe God for a quick manifestation of healing in your body. Believe God. Believe God. Don't put all your confidence in doctors. That's never right. I don't care who you are or what you are. Putting all of your confidence in a man and zero confidence in God as your healer is not right. Now, if you need help, if you need the physicians, by all means, use them. But your confidence overall must stay in God and his word as your healer, first and foremost. Hallelujah. All right. So let me read some more of this. Sickness and disease originated from the fall of man, which was a spiritual event that impacted our natural bodies. Think about that. When God created the heavens and the earth and everything that we see here, he said what? He said it is very good. Now, when he said it was very good, do you think there was sickness and disease rampant in this place? Absolutely not. No sickness, no disease, no spiritual death. See, it wasn't until Adam committed high treason by partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the fruit from that tree, which was violation of what God said to do, it wasn't until that point that spiritual death entered into humanity. And once spiritual death entered into humanity, in where? In their spirit. Their spirit died. Death entered it. Once that happened, it permeated all of that, all of the man, and his physical body went into the death mode and began to die. From that moment on. Now, he didn't just fall over dead right there, because we know that they conceived, they had families, they, you know, he grew old, and he died, Adam. So at that moment, what happened? Spiritual death entered into him, and as a result, death permeated his whole being. So where did sickness and disease originate from? It didn't originate from God. It originated from spiritual death. And it came once man's spirit died. Then sickness and disease afflicted this physical body. So let's fast forward to the cross. The cross is where Jesus, what did he do? He paid the price. Ultimate price for spiritual death. Sin, sickness, and disease, and poverty was laid on him. And what did he do? He paid the price. His blood was shed. He was offered up as a living sacrifice on our behalf. And as a result, in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection, what happened to us? When we receive that, we receive the payment that was made for us on his, by him on our behalf. And we receive freedom. Freedom in every area of our life, spirit, soul, and body. from that spiritual death. So now that I am alive with the life of God in my spirit, that when I was born again, this outer man didn't change. Still the same outer man as always been. But what did change? What did get reborn? It was the part of me that you can't see, my spirit man. And once it was reborn, the life of God came within me. And that life inside of me now gives life to this mortal body. Well, how do you know that, Mark? Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, and I'll show you where Paul is writing to the church at Rome in Romans 8. We're going to start reading in verse 10. Verse 10 says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead." That means the body, physical body, it's accounted, as far as heaven's concerned, it's accounted as dead. Your physical body is accounted as dead. Let's go on. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life. Notice it doesn't say it's alive. It says the spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11, "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies." That's this outer man, your mortal body. This is a part of you that you're going to lay down one day when you go to heaven. It's not going to go with you. So it's, but right now, follow me. So very important. Don't miss this point. This mortal body, where it says it's being quickened, he's quickening your mortal body. The only time in your whole existence that that matters at all to you is right now, right here on this earth. This is when you need your mortal body quickened, made alive. Not going to matter one lick when you go to heaven or you go into eternity, because you're going to get your glorified body then, and it's not going to have any need for being quickened. But now it does. This physical body right now needs quickening. And where does it come from? It comes by your spirit, which has the Holy Spirit within it. This word here, spirit. Well, is it the Holy Spirit or is it your human spirit? Let me ask you something. Your reborn human spirit is reborn because it has the Holy Spirit within it. Because if you didn't receive the Holy Spirit, you didn't get born again. And I'm talking about the Holy Spirit at your new birth, not talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit. But when you got born again, in order for your spirit to be life, it had to have the Holy Spirit with, you know, with the life coming inside of you. So how do you separate the two? It's my question. Looking at this verse, whether that's your spirit or the Holy Spirit, what does it matter at this point? Because one won't, your spirit's not going to work as a reborn human spirit without the Spirit of God in it. You see what I'm saying? So to sit down and dissect this is, to me, just to me, I think a little bit fruitless. So let's just look at it. If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, whether that's the Holy Spirit that's being talked about or your human spirit, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. He's going to quicken your mortal body. God is going to quicken your mortal body by his spirit in your spirit, giving life to this mortal body. That's what's going to happen. Because it's going to come out of your human spirit. And it's going to be through the person of the Holy Ghost living inside of you who's going to give that life to this mortal body. But something that hit me as I was looking at this recently is that this doesn't simply happen because you're a born-again child of God. It doesn't happen. There's nothing that I have found thus far in my walk with the Lord that just simply happens without first you believing and having faith. That's the key right there. This giving life to your mortal body by His Spirit dwelling in you, if you think it just simply is going to work just because you're born again, I think you need to think again. Is it going to work because you believe these words? And you say it with your mouth. I believe that the Holy Ghost, through my human spirit, is giving life to this mortal body. I receive that life. I receive that life in Jesus' name. See, now you're working in faith. Now you can see results. But if you just assume that it's simply going to happen just because it's in God's Word, well, it's just going to happen. I don't have to believe anything. No, there's nothing. It's impossible to please God without what? Faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. And where does that faith come from? Faith comes from His Word going inside of you. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So you have to have His Word going inside of you. There has to be faith in you believing that Word and responding with corresponding actions to what that Word is saying in order to have the results that that Word says belongs to you. So just simply seeing this about your through your spirit you receive this life by the Holy Spirit giving life to your mortal body doesn't mean it's going to happen without first you believe it. Confess it. Say it. See, this is what it means to, going back to Proverbs chapter 4 verse 22, where it says that God's Word is medicine to all our flesh. See, this is part and parcel of that, confessing scriptures like Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 11. Confessing this over yourself, speaking it. That is God's Word becoming medicine to you. This is God's medicine. This is how you take God's medicine. If you went to the doctor, you went to the natural doctor, and he gave you natural physical medicine to take, and like I said earlier, prescription, take this 3 times a day. You know, you're going to be diligent, you're going to take that 3 times a day. Well, that's man's medicine. God's medicine is not the same. God's medicine, there is a way of taking it. There is a prescription. The prescription we see in Proverbs chapter 4. And it's His medicine where you incline your ear to His sayings. You don't let them depart from your eyes. You keep them in the midst of your heart. See, this is His prescription for how His medicine works for you. And His medicine is His Word going inside of you and you believing it. You know, that is just so powerful, and it's so true. If we will just do the Word, not just be a casual hearer of the Word, but do the Word, we're going to get the results. We will get the results. And just saying that, you know, makes me think of James. So let's go over to James. James chapter 1 is where we're going to find this. James 1, we're going to begin in verse 17. Every good gift, I like this. This, for some reason, this just stood out to me. And every perfect gift is from above. So there's good gifts, but then there's perfect gifts. I never thought about that. There's good gifts and there's perfect gifts. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. This is the part I really like. Neither shadow of turning. There's no variableness. He's not going to change. There's no shadow of turning. There's no way. When he said it, he meant it, and it is that way forever. Take it to the bank. It's not going to change. Neither shadow of turning. Verse 18, of his own will begot he us with, what did he begot us with? The word of truth. That's what you were begotten with, the word of truth. Somewhere, somehow, you heard the word, and you believed it, and you released your faith, and as a result, you got born again. You believed that word. You got born again. And it's the same thing, the same way that it's going to work for you receiving your healing. It's based on his word. His word going inside of you. You believing it. You speaking it into existence. Speak it out of your mouth. Believe it in your heart. You will have results. How can you say that, Mark? I've done it. I've seen the results. It's powerful. It works. Glory to God. Let's go on here. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth. I'm in verse 18. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Here's the verse I wanted to get to, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. You need to lay this apart. You do. Lay apart these things. All filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Boy, that's a mouthful. Superfluity of naughtiness, which is an overabundance of wickedness. And receive with meekness. This is what I wanted to get to. The engrafted word which is able to save your souls. I like that. The engrafted word. The word that has it's taken root inside of you. And I wrote this down. This is what I found in the vines. It said, a word whose property is to root itself like a seed in your heart. Isn't that good? You've become one with this word. I heard Charles Capp say this on one of his tapes, the God's Creative Power for Healing, I believe was the title of it. It was a mini book that he made into a tape where he read it. In this, he said, he was talking about the word became flesh. And I want you to think about that in the light of this, the engrafted word. God's word is being made flesh when it is engrafted inside of you, when it becomes one with you, and you give birth to this in your spirit. There's a birthing process. Look at what this said one more time in this definition. A word whose property is to root itself like a seed in your heart. When it roots, it's going to germinate. It's going to produce something. The engrafted word. See, this isn't just something that you casually read, you know, like you read a comic book or something. This is something that you meditate on. It's something that takes root inside of you. See, God's word is alive. And it is going to take root inside of you. Hallelujah. And I just like what Cap said. You know, he said that it's the word made flesh. Well, I like that. Hallelujah. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. That word save is sozo. We've talked about that before. To make whole. It makes whole your soul. It makes whole every part of you. The engrafted word. It's the word that's taken root on the inside of you and produced. It's produced something. Hallelujah. And I referred to this earlier, verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, that's what I think happens to most believers. They become hearers of the word, but not doers. See, a doer of the word is someone that takes this word, speaks it out of their mouth, meditates on it, keeps it in front of their eyes, it goes in through their ears, they meditate on it, it's engrafted into them, it becomes one with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the word is producing. See, they're not just a casual hearer, but not a doer. They're a doer of the word. For if any be, verse 23, any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his. You're going to be blessed. You're going to be blessed if you will just hold on tight, buckle your helmet. It may be a little rough, rocky ride for a little bit, but if you will purpose in your heart not to give up, you purpose in your heart to, I'm going to keep the word of God coming out of my mouth. I don't care what the symptoms look like. I don't care how bad it might get. I'm going to keep speaking God's word. I'm going to keep it in front of my eyes. See, when you make that kind of a decision right there, and you're serious about this thing, you're serious about receiving the healing that belongs to you, and you don't have like a plan B floating around in the back of your head. Well, you know, if this doesn't work 2 days from now, I'm going to the doctor. See, now you've already planned for defeat. You know, I'm telling you, if you're going to operate in God's medicine, then it's going to require you to make a conscious decision. I'm going to go this route. I'm not looking for a way out. And I'm going to see the results. Now, again, I have to reiterate, if you don't feel like you're at that place where you can make that kind of a firm decision and just stick to the Word of God, don't feel any condemnation at all about going to get some relief from the doctor. But again, don't let the doctor have all your confidence. Your confidence needs to be in God and His Word. And you're only looking for some relief from the doctor as you look to God's word to give you your ultimate cure. You see what I'm saying? Because, again, the doctor's going to maybe manage the symptoms, but we're talking about an ultimate cure. And you might just be dealing with something right now that's just maybe the common flu or something like that. Not anything life-threatening per se, but maybe that's today. You know, a year from now, you might be dealing with a life-threatening situation. And if you have not done anything at all to try and grow up in spiritually, in your faith, in your walk of faith, you've not done anything. You're waiting until, you're basically waiting until the doctor finally says, we can't do anything for you. Now you're going to get in faith. See, now that right there is what generally happens. And then When the sickness outruns their faith and they end up dead, then God gets the black eye for it, because then people say, well, this guy prayed and they believe God. Oh, please help me, Lord. You know, when you go and you try to start telling God how He's supposed to operate for you, now follow me on this. You know, you pray a prayer, God, just heal me now, and you don't put any of the word inside of you like He said in His word. You're just basically throwing out a Hail Mary pass. Just help me, God. Just heal me. You know, don't pay any attention, God, to the fact that I've not done a lick of anything to try and develop my faith all these years. I just want You to heal me. You know, now come on. Yeah, there are times for the people that are maybe they don't have any relationship at all with the Lord. and they're sick or they're diseased. And thank God for the gifts of healings, which Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Thank God for that, because they operate through a person, and that individual can get healed through that gift, and they don't have to believe anything. That gift will operate. Now, at some point, they're going to have to develop their faith and walk in continue to have faith and maintain that, because the devil will come and try to put it back on them, which is what happened a lot during the healing revivals of the 50s. People would get outstanding miracles. I mean, cancers fall off, but then when they went back and did research later, they discovered that so many of those same people that had cancers falling off, they didn't maintain their healing, and they ended up back in a worse situation than they were in before. So you have to continue to walk in faith. You have to, you know, even if you receive that miracle through a gift, there comes a place where there's a responsibility on every individual's part to receive the Word of God and graft it inside of them and walk in faith. See, there's a responsibility that we have. You can't just, and that makes me think of 1 Peter chapter 2, if you want to turn over there. 1 Peter. I know I had it in my Bible. There it is. Chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and evil and envies and evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. That growing, that growth, there's a growth, there's a development. As the Word goes inside of you, you grow. The Holy Ghost, particularly if you pray in tongues, which is so powerful, you are empowering the Holy Ghost to bring the revelation, to quicken that Word to your spirit, man, so that you have you receive that revelation and you can walk in that. I'm telling you, that's going to grow you up spiritually. Yes, it is. And the things that tripped you up early on in your walk with the Lord, later on, as you grow and develop in the things of God, those things aren't going to be the issues that they were initially. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to have other things to deal with as you grow and develop, but you're going to know how to deal with them because you've learned those lessons. And this, I truly believe, this is where we've fallen short, the body of Christ as a whole, because we're not teaching people how to grow up in the things of God. We're only teaching them, hey, if you get in trouble, just, you know, throw out a lifeline and just hope that God hears you. What kind of mess is that? I mean, here's God's Word. He tells you what to do. This is His instructions to us. You know, don't let these words depart from your eyes. Keep them in front of you. Don't let them depart from your ears. Say them. Look at them. Speak them. And it's just, I laugh, but it's sad. People are dying. Christians are dying. And all the time, you know, the healing has been bought and paid for. It's just simply a matter of they don't believe it because they've never taken the time to be doers of the Word. You know, you think about this. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 of Hebrews. Look at these words. And you think about how powerful God's Word is. Verse 12, for the Word of God is quick. It is alive. That word quick is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Word of God. What are we talking about? What's God's medicine? God's medicine is His Word. It's quick. It's alive. Glory to God. But it's not doing you any good if it's just sitting on these pages and not going inside of you. I remember that brings to mind a comment that I remember Kenneth Hagin saying, you know, if you took that prescription, whatever it is, you know, heart medicine, high blood pressure, cholesterol, whatever it is, if you took that prescription and you went to the druggist and you had them fill that prescription, and then on the side of that bottle, just like they always do, they give you the instructions, and you take that prescription home and you put it right there by your bedside, right there, right next to you, sleeping right next to it. But you don't do what the instructions say. You don't take the first pill. You just leave it sit there, and 2 weeks later, you're still sick. Call up that doctor. Doctor, I don't know what's wrong. I've got this prescription. I filled it, and I don't feel any better at all. And that doctor, or that pharmacist, or that doctor is, well, did you do what it said to do? Well, no, I just set it right there on my bedside, right there next to my bed where I sleep. It's sitting right there. Didn't take the first pill. It's not going to do you any good. And just having this Word of God sitting on your bedside, not putting it inside of you, is not doing you any good. It's quick, it's powerful, but it won't be quick and powerful for you if it sits closed. It's only quick and powerful for you when you've put it inside of you. It will change you. Glory to God. It's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's what the Word of God is. That's what it is, so powerful. But it has to come off of these pages and get inside of us in order for that power to be released in our lives. Glory to God. The word quickeneth, it was really something. I was sitting and studying, and lo and behold, verses started coming up to me. The verse in Hebrews came up to me. The Word of God is quick. And then the verse, the engrafted word came up to me. But it seemed like the word quickeneth or quicken, in every verse that kept popping up inside of me, that word quickeneth or quicken seemed to be in every one of those verses. John 6. Because this was the verse that came to me. It was verse 63. And this comes after Jesus has just told the religious leaders, and told his disciples that they needed to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And they were just a little bit shocked when he said that. And in verse 57, as the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread, verse 58, which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, but he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Now this was the verse that came to me, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words I speak to you are spirit and life. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. If it's the Spirit that quickeneth, then the Word is quick. And we take the Word and we read the Word, and the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, he quickeneth the Word of God to our spirit, bringing the understanding to it. Think of that combination right there. You have the Word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You have the teacher inside of you bringing the understanding, quickening the Word of God to us. My goodness, how can we fail? How in the world can we fail? He's the one that's going to bring the understanding, going to bring the revelation to our human spirit. The Word of God's going to be unlocked. That truth is going to be revealed to us. The quickening is going to take place inside of us. And that our spirit, man, is going to release that, have that life being released to this physical body. Let's say, for example, you're looking at 1 Peter 2:24, where it says, Himself bore my sickness and carried my pain. And by His stripes we were healed. Particularly that last part, by His stripes we were healed. We are healed. You look at that, you read it, you meditate on it. At the beginning, as you do that, maybe it's just words on the page to you, but you keep doing it. You keep doing it. And eventually, there's something that happens that it's like suddenly, you know, your understanding is just captured by this, by this revelation, and you see this verse like you've never seen it before. Oh my goodness, by His stripes I am healed. I'm healed. And it's like, where did that verse come from? I'd never seen that verse before. I've had that happen to me so many times. It's like you've read this verse time and time and time again, but suddenly now I see it. I see this verse, and it's more than just the seeing. There's something inside of me now that I can just walk on water, it seems like, because of this verse. I can see the impossible happening in my life because this verse has just been unlocked to me, and I see the truth in here, and I'm partaking of the fruit of this verse. You know, as I just said that, this is the image that I saw. You know, in the garden, what did they have? They had the trees with all the fruit on it, and they were told, you can eat of all these trees, but not of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Can't partake of that fruit, because the day you do that, you're going to die. But all the other trees, the tree of life, they could partake of that fruit. They were instructed to partake of it, and as soon as they fell, there was angels placed at the entrance to the tree of life, and they had swords going in every direction, keeping that tree blocked from anyone going to that tree. Fast forward that to, and I tried to quote it, not very good, 1 Peter chapter 2:24. Let's look at it. Trying to get this in here before we end for this evening. 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on, look at that, the tree. See, there was a tree. It was the cross. And it bore fruit. And that fruit, as we partake of that fruit through what? Through God's Word going inside of us, we partake of this tree of life. Jesus on the cross, His fulfillment of the covenant and His doing away of the curse of the law on our behalf produced fruit. He became the tree of life to us on that cross. And through His death, burial, and resurrection, we can partake of this tree of life and live. How do we partake of this tree of life? Through putting the Word of God inside of us, we are partaking of the tree of life. Glory to God. Look at what the verse says there in John 5. Or John 6, he said, it's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and are life. They're life. Glory to God. They're spirit, they're life. The Word of God going inside of us, it is life. It is producing life. We are partaking of the tree of life. And we're living. Glory to God. This is God's medicine. This is how you partake of God's medicine. Take His word. It's alive. And the Holy Spirit, through our reborn human spirit, is quickening that word to us. So that we're receiving that revelation. We're receiving that flow of life inside of us. And it's giving life to what? This physical, mortal body. Hallelujah. Does it work, Mark? Yes, it works. Of course, there's some challenges in living this way and doing this. Of course there is. You do have there is a devil. You know, I mean, there is a devil, and he wants to kill you and destroy you. He can't kill you. He would like to. If he could kill a Christian, he'd kill us all right now. He can't do it. But what he can do is he can con you into accepting your own defeat. And all the while, you have all the victory that Jesus accomplished for us right at your fingertips. You got to get it inside of you. Give the Holy Ghost something to work with. Put the Word inside of you. Glory to God. You know, going back to what we were talking about at the beginning. This is God's medicine. The natural world has their way. The natural world, their way is to manage symptoms. God's way is eliminating the problem altogether. Hallelujah. I choose God's way. I choose God's medicine. I believe God's medicine is far superior to man's. And there's no side effects. Hallelujah. I hope that blessed you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for your word. Thank you. God's, your medicine is sweet. It's wonderful. I thank you for it. I thank you that we can partake of your medicine. And I thank you that as the Holy Ghost brings the understanding, as he quickens this, your word in our spirit, it is giving life to this mortal body. Glory to God. Thank you. I thank you that we don't have to suffer with the long-term diseases that the world is suffering. We have an answer for them. We have a solution for them. And it's you and your word. Father, we love you. We worship you and praise you. And I believe that this message is going to be a blessing to the people that hear it. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.